Good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for what you've already done in us this day, that you've encouraged us, that you've showered your mercies on us that are new every morning. And we thank you that we may begin our week with your people, that we might meditate on your word, that we might sing praise unto you. And Father, we pray that you would fill us. You've promised that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Father, we're hungry. Help us satisfy our hunger. Speak through me, Lord. Protect me from error. And help your word to encourage us. It is the word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn to Luke chapter 11. I almost preached about the centurion today, Edward. Almost. I thought that it hadn't been that long since I taught on it, so I went a different way. And, you know, this mystical thing doesn't have to happen for it to be proof that this is the text that God wanted. But it is strange that y'all sang a special about his eye being on the sparrow, and this text today is about that. So if God's telling it to y'all twice, listen. Luke chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through verse 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend. Yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. Verse 1, Jesus is praying. The disciples hear him. They're with him. Teach us to pray. And we prayed this morning, though we didn't pray the one from Luke. But we prayed this morning, "Father, hallowed be your name. Let your name be revered. Let your reputation be praised. Let everything that is spoken about you be spoken for good and not for ill. Your kingdom come." The kingdom of that with Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. Let that kingdom be established and reign in the hearts and the minds and the bodies of God's people. Verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." It could be translated, "Give us our bread for tomorrow." And the idea here is that God is providing for you. Though we have jobs, and we in our day and age we have grocery stores, and if the corn doesn't grow in Texas, well, we'll get corn from Louisiana, and it won't be a big deal, right? But God is providing for us day by day, though we may not understand it. If all the truck drivers in the United States went on strike for 2 weeks, we would see how much day by day the food is arriving in all of these stores. God provides for us day to day. Give us our bread for tomorrow. Give us our daily bread. Do you know? Of course you know. He does this for the animals every day throughout creation. All animals, they have particular places that they enjoy. Animals go to a same pool and drink water from that pool. But they're not thoughtful about it. The turtle dove doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. God provides it for it. The sparrow, his eye is on the sparrow every day. Where is the next meal going to come from for that sparrow? The sparrow doesn't know. It just flies around and God gives it to it. The butterfly, listen, it doesn't know where the next flower is. God provides what it needs, and he provides for us day by day. And if you pray this day by day, you will be more aware of God's daily provision for you. Bless us, Lord. Give us each day our daily bread. Verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is not the prayer of an unconverted soul, I don't think. I don't think that's what's in view here. It's that there's already a relationship with God, and crimes are being committed against God, though, as we sin against each other. Forgive us of those sins, Lord. And people are sinning against us. We're going to forgive them, too. Listen, when you admit your failures and that you're sinning and falling short of the glory of God, it is good. Isn't it? It's good. And when you know you've sinned against your brother, you should confess that sin and ask them to forgive you and stop doing whatever it was. It is a good thing to think about when you ask God to forgive you. I need to forgive others who sinned against me too. It's the right response of after receiving forgiveness from God to sin, to forgive others their sins. It's right. Right? And listen, better still if you can overlook a fault. Don't be too quick to be offended by people. Don't you know Proverbs 19:11? Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. If you can overlook it, it's a glory to you, friend. But if you can't, okay, fine. Forgive them for doing what they did. And Matthew 18 teaches us more detail about the reasoning here, right? This is the passage about the two debtors and the masters that called them to account. He wished to settle his accounts, and he called one who owed him a large sum of money and said, "Today's the day, buddy. Pay up." The guy obviously said, "I don't have it. I wasn't expecting for you to call me now, but it's such a large sum of money." He's like, "Well, you'll have to be sold, and your wives and kids too." And the man pleads with him, and the master says, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tear up this debt that you owe me. Be free." And that same person goes outside and finding someone who owed him a piddly amount of money in comparison, begins to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." And word gets back around to the original master. He says, "Okay, call him back. You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have been that way toward one that owed you?" And the Bible says, Matthew chapter 18, verse 34, "And in anger, his master delivered him over to the jailers until he should pay all the debt. So also your heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." When Jesus says, you want to know how to pray? This is how you should pray. Forgive us of our sins like we forgive others. And in our minds, we have a very distinct lesson for us to get a handle on it, right? God has forgiven us $1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 and it's evil if you don't, friend. It is. And then lead us not into temptation. Listen, our lives are filled with many times with testing for sure, and sometimes temptation. And it is God's will for us to suffer as our Lord Jesus suffered. We are told that. But Jesus said, you don't have to pray that testing and temptation would come. Pray and ask God not to lead you into temptation. It's good. And he teaches them this is the model prayer. But then he goes on to encourage them to pray. And he brings up a real world application to show them, listen, the power of asking. Verse 5, a friend is in need. Verse 5, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. The implication is you wouldn't do that. Would you do that? That's rude. Prepare beforehand. But this guy, we don't know if his friend just showed up or what, but he goes to his friend. Listen, and that time, it's probably now too, but at that time, it's very bad form to have a guest over and have nothing to give this person. So, in fear of embarrassment and disrespect to his guest, he goes to his friend. Can I have some bread? This is already, it's after dark. The door is locked. They're in bed. You know, it's not like us. You got to get up and go answer the door. They could talk through the walls. All right. Homes are a lot different. This happened to us actually one time in Cambodia. We were there and it was very, very hot at night. And there was no electricity. And Jennifer went outside to dump water on her head because she was so hot. It was in the middle of the night. And opening the door woke up the entire house. And everybody was like, freaking out. What's going on? Somebody's in the house. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I was trying to sneak out and just... You have a situation similar, I think. He said, we're in bed. I'm not getting up. I'm not opening the door. It's going to wake everybody up. I'm not doing it. The friend who has woken up is unwilling to help. I'm already asleep. I can't give you anything. Go away. Right? Verse 8, the Bible says, but because of his impudence. Impudent comes, this is the only time the word is used in the New Testament. It comes from a Latin word. However you pronounce these, let's say im, meaning without, and pudens, shame. Because of his shamelessness, without shame, he's knocking on his friend's house in the middle of the night saying, hey, listen, I don't have any groceries. Can you give me yours? The friend is so shameless and bold, even. He wakes him up at night. He asks for provisions. It's a kind of, some people want to translate this as persistence, and I don't think that's not the meaning. It's not used that way. I mean, if it is a persistence, it's shameless persistence. Like, it's not about you. I know you're resting comfortably. It's about me. I'm about to be embarrassed. He does not care that he's bothering his friend. He needs the help. verse 8, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. The guy is so bold. Okay, we're already woke up now. You won't go away. I guess I'll just give it to you. You've known people like this that ask for things that they shouldn't have asked for. And you're kind of like, yeah, I guess. You're almost, you don't know what to say because you're surprised they even asked. And you see kids do this. Somebody will have a nice hat or a nice shirt and they'll say, oh, I really love that hat. Can I have it? And the person's like, if I say no, I seem like I'm selfish, but why did he ask that? Verse 9, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And don't miss it. Jesus is teaching our Heavenly Father is much more gracious and concerned about us than some friend we might wake up at night in a shameless way. But there is something there that's supposed to be there. When we come to God boldly, we're seeking His help. We knock on His door in an hour of need. Listen, you knock on the door of God, you receive. He answers. Do you hear the word of God? Knock on His door shamelessly, boldly. You need the help. The door will be open to you. And listen, you will find help in the time of need at the door of God. The proud and the arrogant God opposes, but the humble He lifts up. Isn't a humble person one who knocks on the door, doesn't care that he shouldn't even be there? I mean, there is some bad things connected to that. But as we're thinking about prayer to God, I mean, let's look at verse 11 and 12. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? This is a lesser to greater argument that's happening here. Regular parents being sinners and filled with flaws. Right, parents? Filled with flaws. They know how to bless their children with the request that the children have asked. Even though the parents are impatient sometimes, mean even sometimes, or just don't care what the kids want, usually, if it's in their power, they give what the request is. Because they love their kids. Even small things like a fish or an egg. And verse 13, here's the greater. If that's what you do, this little thing, ask God. He's not like you're like normal parents who are filled with sins and flaws and weakness. He cares about you. His eye is on you. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. How does he know? Because he's keeping track. When one falls off, he knows one's now gone. For little kids, I remember when Lydia was really small, she didn't have very much hair. And as more hair grew in, God knew. He knows how many white blood cells you have and how many red blood cells you have. Why is he concerned with it? Because he cares for you deeply. Not only will he give you an egg or a fish, he'll bless you with the Holy Spirit if you ask him. There could be no greater requests filled, right? Verse 13, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Exclamation point. Jesus, listen to me, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He walked on the earth, he showed us what's important in the life of faith. And if Jesus' words are instructive to us in the life of faith, prayer is high on the list of priorities for Jesus. In Luke alone, there's like 12 different passages that either describe, teach, or exhort to pray. If we went through the whole New Testament, it is repeated again and again and again and again. It's a vital part of Jesus' ministry. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." Chapter 10, he said to them, "The harvest," before sending out the 72, as he's sending them out, he says, "The harvest is plentiful. There's lots of my sheep out there. You're going to be bringing them in. The problem is not that there's no sheep. The problem is there's no shepherds. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Again, Luke chapter 18, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. The parable of the persistent widow. She's powerless in the situation. She keeps coming again and again and again. The guy relents and gives in, the judge. The teaching is, if this is what a wicked judge does, what about the righteous judge over all the earth? Will he be like that, or will he be better than that? Pray, don't lose heart. Chapter 18, he told them this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And he teaches about two men that pray, one that prays very arrogantly and presumptuously and says, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all these other heathens. You made me good. I am thankful for whatever God has done in us to make us less evil." But that's a wrong way to approach God. And the one is very humble. Says he stood afar off and looked down and said, "Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." Verse 14, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Chapter 19, he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Chapter 21, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Is prayer important to Jesus? Is it important for him to teach it over and over and over and over? And he's approaching it from all different aspects. He doesn't want long prayers that just repeat, repeat, repeat. They think they'll be heard by the multitude of their words. No, get to the point. God knows, but do it often. Chapter 22, "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" This is a tremendous opportunity for blessing in the life of the church, and also a tremendous opportunity for us to fall down on the job and be super neglectful and to tell people, I'll pray for you, but you don't. Will you pray for one another? Pray for yourself first, that God would keep you in His grace, that He won't lead you into temptation. But pray for others too. Which ones? Well, pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your enemies. That pretty much includes everyone. It's a vital aspect of the Christian faith. And listen, do you think you're putting out God by asking Him piddly things? Do you? Sometimes that can be in our minds, like, I'm not going to bother Him with this. This is small. You're not bothering God. That idea is like He has a limited amount of brain power and He can't be concerned about all these stupid prayer requests. His brain is limitless. His processor is not pegged at 99%. He's got plenty more processing power. Bring it on. Bring it on. God wants to hear your requests. You're not putting Him out, friend. Be bold. Be bold. Pray. Knock on His door at 2 a.m. He's not like that guy who won't get up. He's already up. He's listening. Ask Him for help. Bring your tiny little faith to the door of God. You won't leave that door disappointed. He will open the door. He will answer. He delights in granting the requests of His children. The question is, will you ask? Will you seek? Will you knock on His door? You have needs, friend. If you say you don't, let's have a discussion. Because you do. We all have a mountain of requests that we need to be asking help from God. He delights in answering those requests. Bring them to Him. He cares for the saints of God. To God be the glory, He cares for His saints. Please don't leave here. If you weren't praying, don't leave here and continue not praying. If you're a Christian, you should pray. And I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm trying to encourage you and stir you up to do good. You want to do the works of God? Pray. God prays. Jesus said that He went out early in the morning to the mountain to do what? To pray. If Jesus needs prayer, we definitely are in great need of prayer. Ask God, He'll help you. Be bold, even what would seem too bold. We have that right because of the blood of Jesus. He'll answer. He'll answer. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that You would make us bold, that we would pray, that we would understand the encouragements and the exhortations in the Scriptures to be bold, that we would understand that You want us to come with all kinds of prayers and petitions and make our requests known. And Father, You've told us that in some places we don't have because we didn't ask. Father, would You help us? Help us to pray for our spiritual lives. Help us to pray for the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters. Help us to pray as the laborers go out into the harvest fields. Have mercy on us, Lord. Please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.